All right, good morning, everyone. A little bit of a late start this morning. I understand the it's only starting to get light. All right, today's daf is actually daf Kuf Chav Gimel, 123. We're behind. We're back on Kuf Chav Beis. And I'm not saying this, but we're going to start today on Kuf Chav Aleph Amud Beis. We're on that last line of the page. The discussion starts today with the following. The Mishnah. Let's get our bearings. Ninth parak of Chul and Orva Harotev. We are talking about which parts of the animal are going to give off tuma. We started off the parak talking about the concepts of shomer and yad, and the last point that was made in the Mishnah was the meat that's on the hide of the animal, meaning what the Mishnah refers to as alal. The meat on the hide of the animal, is that considered meat or is that not considered meat? In other words, it's a very straightforward question. When we talk about tumas nevela, nevela is only meat. It's only meat. It's not any other part of the animal. It's not the bones. It's not the horns. It's nothing other than the meat. Okay, fine. And then what we do with an animal is we flay the animal, which means that the hide is going to be separated from the meat and the hide is going to be given to the tanner and the hide is not considered part of the meat. What about when you flay the animal, there's still going to be, it's not going to be such precision in terms of separating the hide from the meat. There's going to be a little bit of meat on the hide. So how do we view that? How do we look at that meat on the hide? So the Tanakam is of the position, it's nothing. It is nothing significant. It's bottle. And then Rav Yehuda says ha'alal ha'mechunas im yesh bo kezayis b'makom echad chayev alav. So the last position of that mission was the position of Rav Yehuda, and that is that if you have an aggregate piece of meat on the hide, and it is considered a kezayis, so then it's going to give off tumas nevela. Rashi all the way back in the Mishnah says you're going to become tamei. Meaning if you touch the meat, or if you touch the hide, remember the hide is a conductor, the hide is considered a yad, if you touch the meat or if you touch the hide, you're going to become tamei. Rashi all the way back in the Mishnah says, v'nichnas l'mikdash o achal kodesh, and if subsequent to that, now that you're tamei, and when we say tamei, we mean min haTorah, meaning real tumah. Now if you walk into the base of mikdash, or if you eat basar kodesh, so that's an issur kares. Okay, that takes us all the way back to the Mishnah on Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Now we're on the bottom, very bottom, Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, and we start off with Amar Rav Huna Vahusha Kanso, that Kezayis HaMid has to be aggregate, it has to be collected. Rashi, the last Rashi on the page, Degali Daite Delo Batlem Ikara, meaning if you collect the meat and you aggregate it, so that is a clear declaration that you want that meat. Avon niskanes me'elav kamo shekansiu tinokas achar hefshet lo ha'ol uvata mitchila. However, if when you flay the hide, there's little scraps of meat on the hide, and then at the time you were like, whatever, just give it to the tanner. And then Rashi gives the example, well, let's say a child comes and takes the pieces of meat and collects and aggregates them together. So that's nothing. Rashi says, "Ho vato mitchila v'nasa or sulo had to have a basar." Look, once you basically viewed it as discard, the moment that you shechted it, you can't then come back to the meat and say, "Oh no, I want the meat." Meaning, it's too late at that point in time. Okay, good. Next, Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna is now going to tell us a second halacha, and that's the following: Shnei chatzai zeisim sheish namal gabe or ha or mevatlan. Let's say I have the following. I flay the hide of the animal, so now I'm basically holding on to the hide, and are two pieces of meat still stuck to the hide. Fine. Each piece of meat is a chatzi zayis. It's one half of a zayis. So, two halves, of course, make a whole, but these two halves are not together. They're not aggregate. They're not collected together. They're simply two halves localized. One is here and one is here. They're in different places of the hide. Rav Huna says, ha'or mevatlan. The hide will negate it, meaning it's not a kezayis. And the fact that they're both connected to the hide, but the hide is a discard. And since I'm looking to throw away the hide, so therefore the two pieces of meat are not considered nevela, even though, yes, if I look at the two together, it's a half kezayis plus a half kezayis, it's a full kezayis, not enough, it's insufficient. Okay, now, before we go on to the next words of the Gemara, which is the topic of Kuf Chav Beis Amud Aleph, Ali, but before we do that, just a word of background. This issue about meat on a hide, and specifically this case, about two half kezesim that are connected to a hide of an animal, and how do we view that? That is a machlokus between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. If you fast forward to Kuf Chaf Dalet 124, and you look at the Mishnah over there, or Sheyesh Alav Kezayis Basar Hanogeh B'Tziv, Hayotzim Yemenu V'Sar Shekaneg Dutame, Hayu Alav Kishnei Chatzei Zesim, the Mishnah there deals with exactly this case. It's hide, and there are two half kezesim connected to the hide. Okay? And the Mishnah over there deals with the following question. What if I pick up the hide? Okay. Remember, this is Nevela. By Nevela, there are two ways in terms of where it can transmit Tumah. A, you touch it. B, you carry it. So here, I pick up the hide. And by picking up the hide, and there are two half kezesim connected to the hide, so essentially what I did is, I picked up a kezias of mace. The issue is very simple. They're not together. They're attached only because they're both attached to the one piece of hide, and I pick up the hide. Metame b'masa v'lo b'maga divrei Rabbi Yishmael. So Rabbi Yishmael says, no, you're not going to be tame. Rabbi Kiva omer lo b'maga v'lo b'masa. Sorry. Rabbi Yishmael says, b'masa v'lo b'maga. Sorry. I take it back. Rabbi Shmuel says, you are going to be tummy. If I pick it up, I picked up a kezias. Rabbi Kiva Omer, lo b'maga v'lo b'masa. Neither. You're not going to be tummy b'maga, you're not going to be tummy b'masa. Look, touching it for sure, no. Because each piece is only half a kezias. But even picking it up, and even by picking it up, I'm picking up now two halves, which is a whole. Rabbi Kiva says, no. Simply because they're not connected. And the hide doesn't connect them. Physically, the hide connects them, but so what? That, remember, the hide is a discard. Basically, I'm looking at the hide and I'm saying, okay, let's give it to the tanner. So the meat that's on it is not considered basar nevela, meat of a nevela. Okay? Background information. You need to know that Mishnah on Kuf Chav Dalet. Now that you know that Mishnah, so let's go back to our discussion. Rav Huna, who's an Amora, he makes the following statement. Shnei chatzai zesim sheshna magabeya or ha'or mevatlan. If I have two half kezesim and they're on the hide negates them. Meaning it's not considered basar nevela. So the Gemara says, okay, I heard the statement of Rav Huna. I know the Mishnah Kuf Chav Dalet. How am I putting those two together? Aliba daman. That's the Gemara's question. I aliba de Rabbi Yishmael hamar lo mevatel or. Look, you know where Rabbi Yishmael says, I combine the two. I look at the two together, since they're both attached to the hide, and the hide is not mevatel, it doesn't negate it. So, Rav Huna doesn't sound like he's going like Rabbi Shmuel. And he aliba de Rabbi Shmuel hamar lo mevatel or, the aliba de Rabbi Akiva, pshita. And if all Rav Huna is doing is repeating the position of Rabbi Akiva, pshita. In other words, then what did Rav Huna contribute to our discussion? He could have just simply said, the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. So, hamar mevata or. And Rabbi Akiva says that the hide negates any meat connected to it because the hide is being looked to be discarded and given to the tanner. La'olam aliba de Rabbi Yishmael v'chiyam Rabbi Yishmael lo mevata or hanimilo shepatasu chaya. Ava patasu sakin batel. So the Gemara says, makes a suggestion. Really, Rav Huna, when he made this position, he made it even within Rabbi Yishmael. But Rabbi Yishmael in the Mishnah says that the two are considered together. It depends. Meaning, it depends why there's a piece of meat connected to the hide. If I'm flaying, I'm taking a knife and I'm cutting the hide off the animal. Any meat connected to the hide is batel. It's negligible, and it's clear because I am physically cutting off the hide. There could not be a clear demonstration that whatever meat's connected to it, I don't want it. It's not basar nevela. That's where Rabbi Shmuel in the Mishnah, he says that the meat connected to the hide is significant. That's where that meat and hide was ripped off by another animal, right? Paltaso chaya, meaning this animal was attacked and the hide was right clawed or chewed by another animal, and that's why the hide and the meat are quote unquote off the animal. But that meat's not negated. But if I'm cutting, it's negated. Tashma, the Gemara says, I don't know if that's right. I don't know if you're right within Rabbi Yishmael, because look at our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Halal Mechunasim Yishkezais B'makom Echad Chayav and Love. V'am Rav Huna V'hushe Kanso. Look, go back to our Mishnah, meaning the first Mishnah in the ninth Perek, where Rabbi Yehuda says is that if you have a kezais of meat, and on that statement of Rabbi Yehuda, you have Rav Huna, who says, not that you just have a kezais of meat, but it has to be collected, it has to be aggregated in one place. V'hushe Kanso. Now, Iyamar Bishlam Apaltos Asakin L'Rabbi Yishmael Namilo Batel. Look, if you're cutting it with a knife, so according to Rabbi Yishmael, it's not going to be batal. So Rav Huna Damar Ka Rabbi Yishmael, and Rav Huna Damar Ka Rabbi Yishmael. Ela Iyamar Paltos Asakin L'Rabbi Yishmael Batel. If you're going to tell me that according to Rabbi Yishmael, anytime I cut with a knife, the meat basically is negated, meaning the meat connected to the hide is negated. So then Rav Huna is making the statement, Aliba Daman, according to whom? Meaning because for sure, according to Rabbi Akiva, it's nothing. Even according to Rabbi Yishmael, the way we're explaining it now, it's also nothing. So Rav Huna Dama, come on, Ela La'olam. So the Gemara says, so we're going to have to come up with a totally new approach. La'olam patos ha'sakin la'Rabbi Yishmael la'bato. So the Gemara says that really, even according to Rabbi Yishmael, and even when I'm cutting with a knife, if there's still a little bit of meat connected to the hide, that's meat. It's ain't batal, it's not negated. Rav Huna Damak Rabbi Akiva, and as far as Rav Huna's statement, where Rav Huna says that if I have two half kezesim, they're nothing, meaning, and the hide negates the two half kezesim, so what Rav Huna's doing is basically subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Akiva. Which makes a lot of sense. We paskin like Rabbi Akiva. But then the Gemara says, Pshita. The Gemara says, then we're back to square one. In that, what did Rav Huna contribute to the whole discussion? Look, I know Rabbi Akiva says that when I'm cutting the animal and I'm flaying the animal, any meat connected to the hide is batal. Why? Because it's a discard. Good. And Rav Huna is repeating Rabbi Akiva's position. So what's Rav Huna's contribution? I'll tell you what Rav Huna's contribution is. If all I had was that Mishnah Kuf Chav Dalet, and all I know is that Rabbi Akiva says that when I cut off the hide, meat connected to the hide is negated. It's batel. It's considered now part of the hide. And it's not subject to Tumas Nevela. If all I had was that, I would have said, yeah, that's when I cut it with a knife. But what if the hide comes off without me cutting it? Meaning, it was attacked by another animal. The other animal ripped off some of the hide of this animal. So there, you could have made the argument and you could have suggested, oh no, that meat is still significant, even though it's just attached to the hide, because I didn't cut that away. That happened on its own. That happened by another animal. I might have thought that Rabbi Akiva would suggest in that situation that, you know what? That meat is significant. It's not batal. What Rav Huna is teaching us is that according to Rabbi Akiva, meat attached to the hide is always insignificant. Always insignificant. And it doesn't matter whether you're cutting, whether another animal attacked it, the or is mevatel, meaning for Rabbi Akiva, it is just one simple guideline. The hide is no longer part of the animal. You separated the hide from the animal. That's it. The hide is no longer considered part of the animal. And if you have traces of meat connected to the hide, doesn't matter. It's batel. It's negated. Why? Because it's no longer part of the animal. It's simply part of the hide. Okay, good. We start the Mishnah, we're in Kuf Chav Beis Amud Aleph, and we're beginning Mishnah, as I mentioned yesterday, and I spoke with Dr. Zagi today. Mishnah is going to bring us to a very interesting conclusion. Look at the Mishnah, Elisha Arasem Kipsara. This is where the or is like basar. Meaning, look, what have we been discussing from the beginning of the Perek? That in the world of Tumas Nevela, the hide is not like the animal. Right. In other words, the meat of the animal is subject to tumas nevela, and the hide isn't, right? And once I separate the hide from the animal, the hide is now not subject to tumah. And here the Mishnah is telling us that there are hides which are considered part and parcel of the animal. The first example that's given, or ha'adam, humans. Now, in the world of humans, meaning, I'm not gonna dwell on this, but what's the Mishnah talking about right now? The Mishnah is certainly talking about tumah and tahara. That's for sure. Mishnah is also talking about consumption. Now, get on to a discussion of cannibalism, which again, I'm not going to dwell on right now. But there is a very, very entertaining discussion. Entertaining because I really would not want to think about this halakha lamaisa. So about whether or not there's a prohibition in the Torah to eat another human being. Right, read the Torah cover to cover, and you will not see anywhere in the Torah where the Torah addresses this issue about not eating another human being. The Rishonim have a discussion, a debate in terms of whether it's prohibited, and if it is, what exactly is the prohibition. Again, this is not our subject for today, but it certainly is an interesting discussion in terms of what it is. Let's just for now say, simply, without being detail-oriented, let's just simply say that it's Aser, you're not allowed to eat another human being. What the Iser is, where is it coming from in the Torah? For a different time, for a different discussion. Right now, just to keep everything simple, let's just talk about Tumah Tahara, okay? And basically what the Mishnah is saying is that when it comes to a human being, look, we know that Basar Kezayis Min Ameis, human remains, flesh of a human remain is going to give off Tumah. What about the skin of human remains? So the Mishnah says, same story. Same story, gives off Tumah. Okay? Hold that thought, because when we get to the Gemara, we're going to come back and we're going to discuss this in more detail.
If you give off Tumah, then there would be no way of touching and getting Tumah. If the skin, because the skin is on...
Yeah, but I understand that, but we're talking about the remains. In other words, we're not talking about a live human, we're talking about a dead human. And the Mishnah's point is that the flesh is going to give off Tumah's mace, and so will the skin. Okay, perfect. Now, you could say that, but as a shomer, that means that it's only when it's attached to the body is it going to give off tumah. Once you remove a shomer, it's nothing. Meaning shomer only is a shomer when it acts as a shomer. But if it's no longer a shomer, meaning that the skin was removed from the body, so it no longer is going to give off tumah. What the Mishnah sounds like it's saying is that even when the skin is detached from the body, it's still going to give off tumah. Which what the Mishnah then is saying is that the skin is much more than a shomer. It's mace. It's considered human remains. Okay, again, we're going to come back to that in just a moment. Or chazir shel yishuv. A skin of a pig. A skin of a pig is soft and edible, and so therefore... it's meat. Meaning, from this point forward in the Mishnah, basically, it's very simple. Certain skins of certain animals, or certain parts of certain animals, the skin is so soft and the skin is so edible, and it is actually eaten, it's therefore considered basar. That's basically the remaining points of this Mishnah. So you have the chazir shel yishuv, soft skin of that chazir, therefore it's going to give off tumas nevela. Rav Yehuda omer af or chazir habar. Rav Yehuda says that even the wild pig, the or chateres shel gamal, the skin of the chateres. Okay, I'm sorry, shel gamal haracha, of the soft camel. Well, the chateres is a hump, right? That's correct. Or harosh shel egel harach, the skin of a young calf, specifically the skin of the head of the young calf. Or haprasos, the skin that's around the hooves. By the way, most of these things in the Mishnah are going to be discussed in more detail in the Gemara. Or beis haboshes, the skin of the private genitalia of a female animal. Okay. Or hashalil, the skin around the placenta of the animal. Or shel tachas ha'alya, skin right underneath the tail of an animal. Or ha'anaka. The hakoach, the halta, the hachomet, the skin of these insects. Now, the definition of these insects. So if you know your old French well, so you'll know exactly what these insects are. Rashi, Haritzin, Litida, lizard, huh? Yeah, it's pretty close to lizard. Limsa. Okay, point is that by these particular insects, their skins are soft, and I know I'm not enticing you, but they're edible. Now, you'll notice, by the way, that there are four insects that are mentioned over here. The Anaka, the Koach, Halta, and the Chomet. Okay? There are eight in total. The Torah in Parsha Shemini goes through eight insects, eight shrotzim, where once they're dead, they give off tuma. So we only went for four out of the eight? Yeah. Because according to the Tanakhama, only these four have a soft skin. The other four apparently have a very hard skin. Okay. Armadillo, if you will. I'm not saying that that's one of them, but you understand. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Halta Kechulda. Rabbi Yehuda says is that the Halta is like the Chulda. V'kulan she'avdan o she'hilach mem kedei avoda taharin. Now, in all of these examples, if I work the skin over, meaning I tan them, I take them to a tanner and he works them over, kedei avoda, the amount of what is considered tanning, so then now they're tahor, meaning they've lost that soft edible status. They're no longer considered nevela, and at that point in time, now they're considered hide, no longer able to give off tumas nevela. Chutz mi or ha'adam, except with the exception of or ha'adam, there's no working it over, so to say. Meaning, or ha'adam always will have the status of or ha'adam. Rav Yocham and Nuri Amish Manashwasi Meishlam Oros, and Rav Yocham and Nuri disagrees with the Tanakhama. He says that all eight of the shratzim has or has a hide, and is not mitame like the basar. Meaning that according to the Tanakhama, four of the insects have a nice soft hide. According to Rav Yocham and Nuri, none of the insects have a nice, has a nice soft hide. Okay. Amar Ula. Okay, probably the most interesting part of today's daf, certainly the most exciting part, Dvar Torah or Adam Tahor. Okay. Ula makes a very definitive statement, which is that the hide of a human being, not the hide, but the skin of a human being, is really min haTorah, it's tahor. Right? Meaning we know that the human remains gives off tumas meis. Ula says that min haTorah, that's not true by the skin. Not true. Human skin does not give off tumah. Umatam amru tamei, gzeru shemayasa adam oros aviv imo shtichim. And the reason, and then of course, the question is our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah says, Orosem kibisaram, that the skin is like the flesh. And the first thing the Mishnah uses as an example is a human being. So it's clear from the Mishnah that we treat the skin like human remains in that it gives off tumah. So Ula explains, yeah, I know our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is a gzera derabbanan, it's a rabbinic decree. Why? Now, I'll try to explain this a little bit better, says the Gemara, because what people used to do is they used to take, after their father and mother passed away, they used to flay the skin of their mother and their father, and they would make it a shatiach. Shatiach is like a bedspread, like a blanket. Now, Just right now, we'll leave it at that. They used to make it as a shatich, some sort of spread. Now, ika demastin la asefa. Now, some learn it not in the first part of the Mishnah, but rather in the second part of the Mishnah, which is v'kulan she'ivdan oshilach bem kedei avoda taharin chutz mi or adam. That's not true by or adam, meaning by that by or adam, even if you work it over, it still is going to have the status of mace and give off tuma. Amar Ula Dvar Torah or Adam Sha'avdu Tahor. No, the truth of the matter is, says Ula, is that when you have human skin and you work it over, it's going to be Tahor because it's no longer considered flesh. It's no longer considered Basar Meis. Umatam Amru Tamik Zer Shamiyasa Adam Oros Aviv Imo Shtichim. And the reason why the Mishnah says that it's Tamei is because the rabbis made a Gzera, and the Gzera is because people convert the skin of their dead mother and dead father into a shatiach. Look, if you're learning Ula in the first part of the Mishnah, certainly it's true by the last part of the Mishnah. But if you're learning Ula on the last part of the Mishnah, that means that before you work over the skin, the human skin is still going to give off tuma min haTorah. Okay, and that means that you could not plug in Ula into the first part of the Mishnah. Okay. What our Gemara is saying clearly, let's just make sure that we're understanding before we move on to the next part of the discussion, is that at least according to the first version of Ula, skin min haTorah does not give off tuma. Meaning, even though we know that human remains gives off tuma, but that's specifically the flesh / muscle, and it's not the skin of human remains, that is what is clear, and it's a rabbinic decree. First of all, how do you understand this rabbinic decree? Right. In other words, it sounds like the craziest thing in the world that somebody would take the skin of their parents and make a shatiach out of it. Hard to understand. So Rabbi Kornfeld quotes a Radvaz. And the Radvaz writes in a tshuva that human corpse was considered to have mystical powers of protection. Right? This was a common thinking back in the good old days. A superstitious person would take the skin of a dead person, and preferably a dead person who was a close relative, such as a parent, and bring it with him to war as a talisman for protection. Okay? That was done back then. In fact, God willing, we'll get to the end of today's daf, and you'll see that they used to do that. When they went out to war, they'd actually put skulls of certain dead people on the top of a pole, and they would go out to war, and that was a minute. That was the practice back then. So some considered this to be permitted, reasoning that it did not involve deriving benefit from the corpse, meaning, and some people thought it was totally okay, and based on the superstition, so that's what they would do. They would flay off the skin of their mother and their father, and they would make it into some sort of shatiach, some sort of, I guess, taxidermy, if you will. Kind of hard to picture, certainly kind of hard to imagine.
That's what it's saying, getting under someone's skin.
Right, right. So the bigger issue in this whole discussion, and Tosfos right over here raises this, and it's such a basic issue, and that's the following. Meaning, we are having a discussion of Tum and Tahara, right? And what our Mishnah is telling us is that the skin is, min haTorah, does not give off any tumah. And so what people would do is they would take the skin off and skin off the mother and the father after they were deceased. And okay, Tosfos says, I understand. Let's take a moment to think about this. We're talking now about a dead person. We know that a dead person is asur bahana'a. You're not allowed to get benefit from a mace. And so Tosfos says, so I don't understand what's going on over here. People would take off the skin off the mace. And so what the rabbis did is that they made a gzeira derabanan that the skin now is going to give off tuma so that people would stay away. But even before we got to that point, isn't the body asur bahana? You're not allowed to get benefit from a human body. In fact, once you even put clothing on the human body, the clothing that you put on is asur bahana. So it's kind of hard to understand what's this discussion going on over here in this Gemara when we know that a mace is asur bahana. So Tosfos is bothered by this very question. The Alpha Agav, second to last Tosfos on the page. The Alpha Agav, the mace asur bahana. The Chol Adam asur la'asos me'arush tichin. This is not limited to your mother and father. You can't go over to any mace and you can't take any part of the mace and make benefit from any part of the mace. So Tosfos over here seems to suggest that that if it would have just been for the Isser Hana'a, in other words, people wouldn't have held back. Once the Chachamim made a Gzeira of Tuma, so now people stay away from Tuma, so to say. Okay, meaning that, you're right, it's true by anybody, but still, people, I guess the superstition was so strong that people still were removing the skin off their parents, and the Chachamim had to step in and say, you know what? To try to totally dissuade people from doing it, we're now going to make the skin tamei midrabanan.
These were Jews?
Huh? That's certainly what it sounds like. Okay. There is a Tosfos in Nida. Again, Rabbi Kornfeld quotes it as well. There is a Tosfos in Nida. And the Tosfos in Nida, based on this question, comes up with a very simple conclusion. It's so simple, and it really resolves Tosfos' whole question. And that is that even though we say that you're not allowed to get benefit from a dead body, that's only the flesh of a dead body. You're allowed to get benefit from the skin off of a dead body. Plain and simple. Meaning, just like Ula and Argamar says that skin doesn't give off tumah, Tosfos in Nida says, you're also not, the prohibition of hana'a, the iser hana'a, only applies to the flesh but doesn't apply to the skin. So Minotaur, you're allowed to get benefit from the skin of a human body. That is Tosfos in Nida. Okay. Now,
Liver transplant, so on. Is that all it's called or not?
Right. So that's an excellent question. Okay, that's going to be beyond the scope of today because there's a lot of factors over there that go into that discussion because, right, you're saving somebody else for that, you know, using it. Okay. But right now, we'll just leave the discussion right now to skin. So number one, so taking skin off of a dead person to graft it onto another person, that's one area where we could go down. Rabbi Kornfeld quotes, Rabbi Kornfeld quotes, first he quotes the Mishnah Melech, and the Mishnah Melech quotes his Tosfos in Nida, and he likes it and he supports it. The Mishnah Melech supports this idea that you're allowed to benefit from skin of a human after the human is dead, and he quotes the story from Shmuel, where Shaul says, "Yeah, I'll let you marry my daughter Michal, but only after you go after the plishtim, and only after you bring me the arla, the foreskins of the dead plishtim." All right, and he does it, and David does it, and he presents it to his father-in-law, his future father-in-law. Okay, and that's a gift. That's a gift. I understand. You're not allowed to benefit from skin. So the Mishnah Melech says, sounds like Tosfos is right. Tosfos is of the opinion that you are allowed to benefit from the skin. Now, there, by the way, the discussion is a little more complicated because that's the skin of a non-Jew and not a Jew. Maybe there's a difference, perhaps. Okay. Doubtful that there's a difference on this topic. So that's our discussion. Yeah, so David was tummy, but once you separate the skin doesn't give off tumah.
My question is, can he become tummy from touching a dead non-Jew?
Again, that's subject to a debate.
Okay,
fine. He quotes Rav Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, the Sri Deish, popular posek of the past century, and he allows corneal transplants. Okay? The Sri Deish allows corneal transplants. Why? He says, because look, follow. Our Gemara says that Mina Torah, the skin of a human, doesn't give off tumah. Tosfos in Nida says that the Isser Hana also does not apply to the skin, meaning that you're allowed to benefit from the skin. Now, when we say skin, we're talking about the outer covering. Now, it's one more jump, it's one more leap, but the Sri Deish Rav Yaakov Weinberg says that the cornea of the eye is considered skin, right? Because it's a protective covering of the eye. And so Rav Yaakov Weinberg writes in the Sri Deish that you're allowed to take corneas off the dead people and use them for transplants for people who need a corneal transplant. Now, again, I'm not suggesting that this is the accepted halacha. Obviously, you'll speak to your local rabbi. But it's certainly, in other words, you follow the progression, you understand. But by the way, that only all works if you accept that chiddush of Tosfos in Nida. Meaning, our Tosfos doesn't give that answer. Presumably, our Tosfos doesn't agree with that premise. And our Tosfos is of the opinion that skin is asur b'hana. Skin of human remains is asur b'hana. So
they consider it meat.
And it's, right, our Tosfos said,
biologically, it's a skin.
Right.
I mean, like epithelial cells.
Right, right. In other words, it's a different
it's
entity.
Like a skin.
Right. Okay. Oh, the cornea is like a skin.
Yeah, same size.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Okay. We're back to the Gemara. Okay, we have a lot to do in a little bit of time, but this is all pretty straightforward, as now the Gemara is going to go through all the other animals mentioned in our Mishnah, and basically identify, because our Mishnah's point is that certain skins are nice and soft and edible, and our Mishnah says we're basically going to treat it like food. Or chazir. Okay, and even in our Mishnah, there is a debate about the skin of a pig, and the Gemara says, basically, what the Mishnah is debating is it soft or is it not soft? Machlokis and Mitzius, I know we like to try to avoid that, but Or Chater Shogamal Haracha, the skin of the hump of a Gamal Racha, the soft animal, the soft camel. The Kama Gamal Haracha, Mar Ulam Ravishu Ben Levi, because Manshalo Tana. How long is that hump soft for? As long as it's not used for a load, to carry a load. By Rav Yirmiyah, he gives Mana Latom Velo Tana Mahu. What if the camel's now old enough where it could start carrying loads, but hasn't been loaded yet? By Abaylo, he gives Mana Latom Vitana. Or we can ask this question the other way. What if it's young, but put to work at a young age? Mahu Teku the Gemara, and both of these questions leaves these questions unresolved. Yastav Reish Lakish V'kami Baile Kama Gamal HaRachal. So, how old, right? How, what are we talking about? So Amalei Rabbi Shmuel Bar Abba Hachem Rabbi Shmuel Ben Levi calls Manshalo Ta'ana. So he says, as long as it didn't carry. Amalei Tivla Kable, Yishikoach basically is good answer. Yosef Reb Zeru Kami Baile, Kama Gamal HaRachal. So now we're going to go through the same give and take, meaning, just remember, the first time it was asked by Reish Lakish, which was met with a Yeshikoach, meaning, good, glad to hear that. Then, now we have Rabbi Zeira. So, Yasser Rabbi Zeira v'kami ba'ile, kama gamal haracha amar lei, Ravin barchina hachi amar ulam Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, kos mashalo tana. And so the answer by Rabbi Zeira is the answer that we're now hearing, and we're used to hearing now, as long as it hasn't held a load yet. So have a ketani lei. And then what he would do is he repeated the question, meaning, because Rashi says he thought he didn't hear. So Amalei, Chada Havyalach Amart. So Rabbi Zera says, oh my gosh, I answered it already. Like, enough. So, and now the Gemara makes its typical editorial commentary about note the differences between those living in Bavel and those living in Eretz Yisrael, right? Reish Lakish, Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Zeira, Bavel. Now, it's true Rabbi Zeira did make Aliyah, right? But he's a Babylonian, okay? You know, right? I'm a kid from Jersey. I'm always going to be a kid from Jersey. Meaning, I'm not a Floridian. So Tachazi bein Tkifi Eretz Yisrael lechaside de Bavel. The Gemara says, look, the Tkifa Eretz Yisrael, the strong of Eretz Yisrael, meaning you're talking about Reish Lakish. So, Reish Lakish, right? The strong of Eretz Yisrael, meanwhile, pleasant, easy to deal with, Yeshikoach. And meanwhile, the Rebbe Zeira, Babylonian, right, when asked and repeated, you heard it. Meaning, I answered it already. Don't ask me again. Right, just tougher people. Right, we happen to be doing in the high school this year. We're doing the third parak of Sanhedrin, and right there in the beginning of the third parak of Sanhedrin, you hear the same report. In Eretz Yisrael, they're na'imim zelazed, they're no'am zelazed. They're nice to one another. They're pleasant. They're easygoing. How does the Gemara there describe the Amoraim of Bavel? This is a quote. Chovlim, right? Don't take this out of context. They're terrorists, right? They're don't take it out of context. Meaning they're rough. They're just rough people. The Amoraim of Bavel. Okay. Or harosh kama egel harach ulam raben shnaso. We're talking about the young calf, where the head, the skin of the young calf is soft. So amar Ulamar ben shnato, Rav Yochanan amar kol zman shiyonek. Okay, a year old, as long as it's suckling, ibailu heichi kama ula ben shnato vehu shiyonek. Is ula adding a criteria of the amalei Rav Yochanan kol zman shiyonek? And Rav Yochanan is disagreeing and saying, no, I don't eat both. As long as he's suckling, that's considered young and soft. And is Rav Yochanan the one who's demanding both criteria, to be a year old and to be suckling? Tashma Rav Yochanan, if Rav Yochanan is adding criteria, so the language would have been v'hu shiyonek, shma mina. So you see that Rav Yochanan is not adding a criteria. So the question starts off such a simple question. The skin of the young calf. Does it give off tomato? Amalei, ain't a matame. So the answer is unbelievably, no, it's hide. That's not flesh, that's hide. So Amalei, so Reish Lakish says to his brother-in-law, I don't understand. Limadatein Rabbeinu. Eilu shorah same kibbutzarim v'orah rosh ha'egol arach. But our Mishnah, says that the skin of a young calf is considered flesh because it's soft and edible. So Rav Yochanan teaches his brother-in-law that Mishnah, our Mishnah, is a das yachid, a singular position. I'll point out very quickly, it's so interesting. We know Rav Yochanan says time and again throughout Shas that the halach is kistah Mishnah. Right. And our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah. Okay? I don't know why the Gemara does not make this point. Right? It seems like a pretty obvious point. Okay. So, Detanya. But we have a Braisa. Hasho chedesa ola lehaktir kezais meor shetachas al yachutzim kom apostol vein bo karitz chutzis man apigo vechayavan ala karitz alaz ben Yehuda ish avalom omer mishum Rav Yaakov vechen haya Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda ish kfar ikum amar mishum Rabbi Shimon Echad or prasos, ve'echad or harosh al egel harach, ve'echad or shal tachas al yav, ve'chol shemanu chachamim gabitum shal resem kibisaram lahavi or shal beis aboshes, chutzim kamo pasal ve'in bokaris, chutz la zmano pigo ve'chayav nalav kares. In a nutshell, it's a machlokas. It's a machlokas whether the skin of a young calf is considered flesh, edible flesh, or whether or not it's considered hide. And what Rav Yochanan teaches his brother Reish Lakish is, our Mishnah, we don't follow our Mishnah. Our Mishnah represents Das Yachid. Look at the Chachamim of the Braisa that I just quoted. He disagrees. Let's do one more piece, and we'll stop for today. Or Beis HaProsos, Rav Amar Beis HaProsos, Mamish. He says we're talking literally about the hide that's around the hoof. Rabbi Chanina Amar, Rechuva Nimkeresim Arosh. We're talking about that lower leg. Remember, there are three parts of the animal leg. The lower leg that's sold with the head, I guess, as like a bonus. Every time you purchase a head from the butcher, so he threw a little piece of the leg with you. It didn't have a lot of meat on it. It was like, you know, right, a soup bone basically. And you threw that together with the head. That hide is soft and is considered flesh.